Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Gordon Whitmire covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. Hey, Gordon, how are you, bud?
Doing great. Good morning. How are you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of Cub concerns, buddy. I'm not going
to
lie.
I was a lot better on Sunday. I got to tell you, things have taken a little bit of a turn here in the last few days.
Yeah, well, at least Lester looked better than he did Friday. And nobody, the first baseman didn't have to pitch last night.
So. Oh, boy.
I mean, Sunday, you're taking the series from the Cardinals and you're first place and the Brewers are imploding. And next thing you know, Chris Bryant might go on the DL again. Oh, Brandon Morrow's not coming back. Yu Darvish is in closer to coming back. I mean, it just seems like this is a little too much in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Again, Lester pitched well.
Well, we've been saying a lot of that. Gordon, let's start with Chris Bryant. You've been around the game a long time, and you've been around this kid. Obviously, having to go back on the DL again, if indeed that's what happens with the sore shoulder, it's not getting better. There's going to be maintenance issues perhaps for the rest of the year. They haven't ruled out the idea of surgery, be it in the offseason or whenever. How can you live? Can you live without Chris Bryant if this is an extended type of deal?
Well, I think the bigger thing is, in all likelihood, he'll play. Whether he goes on the DL for a week, even 2 weeks, I think he'll be back. He might need extra rest down the stretch. The biggest thing is, we don't expect it to just simply go away this year. And he's already made some adjustments. It's part of why his power's down. He's hitting the ball more to the other field. The biggest thing is he could just be a different hitter.
Yeah, can you live with 250 and the occasional home run and you know?
Well, he might get his hits, but they might just be mostly singles. He still works a count, and he can still draw a walk. He could still be a dangerous hitter that way, but he won't be the power bat in your lineup. He won't be that, really dangerous guy that, the pitcher, has to respect in a close game and maybe even think about walking depending on who's behind him, that kind of thing. He won't be that MVP bat is what probably the bigger concern is, as opposed to whether he's actually going to be in the lineup or not.
So when
not his throwing arm, so it's not going to impact him in the field. Go ahead.
So when Joe was saying the other day, it's going to be tougher to piece it together if we don't figure out the starting staff getting beyond five innings or getting to five innings, will it be tougher to piece together if that's what you're living with? Maintenance days off and a different Chris Bryant. And, you have guys like Bodie, obviously, and Listella who can do the job. And when Bryant was on the DL, they were winning and they were having a nice homestand and all that. But can you ultimately get to a World Series if you're now not only piecing together the pitching staff, but your lineup as well?
Well, it's really interesting because he got hurt right around late May initially, and then he played through this, and then it got worse, and then came the DL move. Along the way, there was a cortisone shot. There was an MRI back in June that suggested no structural damage. He'd probably get another one. But my point is that for almost 2 months now, he's either been on the DL or he's been playing with this, and they've been okay offensively. They've been far better than okay for most of that stretch. And that's because right about the same time Jason Hayward turned everything around, Schwarber was already really consistent, Baez was having a breakout year, and Almora continued to hit and get more playing time. You go down the list. Addison Russell was a better hitter since April. So, your whole lineup was producing around these guys. Rizzo slumped for, close to half the season
Sure,
so far.
Yeah.
And they're still the highest scoring team in the league. they still have the best record in the league and without good starting pitching across the board. So a lot of that is because the entire lineup is doing more. Who would have thought going into the season that neither Rizzo nor Bryant at this point of the season would be in the top two in home runs on the team? But that's where we are, and that's not necessarily a bad place. Just the thing is, these are the bats that you count on. Now Rizzo seems healthy, and he's surged again since he's been put in a leadoff spot. But now they're saying maybe we leave him there. And you can only do that because the rest of the lineup has been so productive. You got so many other guys that can pick up the middle of the order production. So again, that's a good thing. But ultimately, this is a guy you count on. This is a guy that has a long track record of success, for a young player, compared to some of these other guys. And so it creates at least a really compelling storyline going into September, towards September, and potentially into the playoffs, just what kind of a lineup you're going to have, because this is different than they've had. It's a different style of, or I guess it's a different form of a lineup. The lineup looks a lot different than it did these last 3 years going to the NLCS.
I think we're anticipating action on the trade deadline here. How significant do you anticipate that action to be?
I'm getting more doubtful as time goes on that they're going to be able to pull off something, any bigger than what they've already done with whatever their next move is. Yesterday I was told they were in the mix among a lot of teams for Hap, and supposedly still hanging in there with the Yankees and the Brewers ahead of them. But if either one of the Yankees have already shown that they're willing to be aggressive, the Brewers maybe not so much, but if either, and certainly if both of those teams are very aggressive, then you can pretty well count out the Cubs in the Hap sweepstakes. And they just don't have the farm system. And another complication of the Bryant situation is that you can't even entertain the possibility of moving Bodie.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
and he was a guy that was drawing some interest. So that makes you even thinner when it comes to what you can offer in a trade. So I think they made a great deal to get Chavez. They didn't give up a whole lot, and maybe we see another one of those, possibly two, but probably one move more in that range. Joe even kind of alluded to it yesterday.
He absolutely did, right? So
yeah,
sometimes you get guys,
a guy that can do a lot of things.
Yeah, talk about the marquee names are nice, but sometimes you get other moves that are, they can be useful, as he said. And,
he was asked, he was kind of led down that path with the question. So there was a little bit of that going on. But one thing he offered without it being the question was that the good fit might be a guy that can do multiple things, like Chavez.
So are we getting to the point where this team is going to have to offense its way to a World Series if they're going to get there? And we know that they've had issues in the postseason when the entire lineup has gone MIA and the pitching has been just fine, thanks. But, can they outscore teams not only in the regular season, but are they going to have to club their way to a championship?
Well, the National League is just spotty enough right now, as the landscape looks, that it's not completely out of the question. That's awfully hard to do. History tells us that, that's a bad formula. But there's teams out there that are going to make the playoffs that have an ace, but not necessarily deep rotations. The scary teams are going to be the ones with the good bullpens because, your starters are only going to go four or five in some of those games. When they face those good, look what we saw the last, this series so far. We've seen, four runs in three games,
yeah.
And they had to win one of those games 2-1 to not be facing a potential four-game sweep today. That's a good team that brought good pitching to the table in this series. That's what you generally see in the playoffs. Again, the Nationals have some of the scariest frontline pitching when it's healthy. They don't even look like they're in the playoff hunt right now, and Strasburg just went on the DL. So, yeah, it's possible. They're not going to beat anybody in the American League that comes out of that side doing it this way. They're going to have to pitch. These guys, and it's probably going to have to come in-house. You know, Hendricks is going to have to be that guy that was that great playoff starter. And Quintana is going to have to be that guy that finished real strong last year. And he's shown glimpses of that, but nothing very consistent. And Chatwood, I don't know what you do with him. I mean, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle for a few weeks, and who knows what happens with Yu Darvish. But you need at least three guys performing as you get to that point in the rotation. And I just, again, the National League, it could be really entertaining if you're trying to slugfest your way to the World Series, one way or the other, it could be really entertaining. but I don't know that's not going to probably get you where you want to go.
Lester's going to pitch well.
Yeah,
that's right. You hope.
Right. You got you that going for
still
him.
The case.
Yeah.
Gordon, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Gordon.
That's Gordon Whitmire could, covering the Cubs.
Chatwood could be on the playoff roster as a pinch runner.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. That's so, oh, boy. I'm going to be very curious to see how he does today because, obviously, every time he's out there, you know, they do tend to win, but it tends to be quite the journey. And
it looks like a very serious event.
You know,
it does.
Let's put it this way. Beer vendors love a Chatwood start. Because there's going to be a lot longer sitting there sipping on the old brew. Because
start your engines.
No, slow them down. You know, we'll be here a while. Go ahead. Order three.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That, of course, the voice of Joe Madden. We haven't mentioned Rick Morrissey's column this morning. Boy, Rick, not a fan, huh?
I was going to bring it up with Gordon.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Oh, no, everyone's heard of Rick.
That's got to make...
former Friar, come on now.
That's got to make Gordon's life a little more difficult, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, look, Mully, every day, when we've had our fun with the eye rolls with... what Joe does and what he says, and if you read the Mona Lisa, and you know, you'll see the T-shirts.
Oh,
I mean, it is. And you know what? It's very entertaining. And again, the bottom line is when it stops resonating or working in the clubhouse, then it becomes an issue. And I don't believe that to be the case. But that was a two-handed body slam for a guy whose team, given all its issues, is still in first place, was, by the way, the manager that led the team to a World Series after 108 years and how many managers took a shot at doing so and came up empty. And, I mean, for the beat guy to have to go into the clubhouse today, and maybe Joe lets it roll right off his back, you know, because he seems to be that kind of guy. But a lot of guys wouldn't. And a lot of guys would just say, you're from the same paper, and, you know, we're going to have some issues moving forward. I don't think Joe's going to treat Gordon that way because Gordon, you know, he knows Gordon. He's been around him. He knows how Gordon operates. But, you know, that's Rick's opinion, and he didn't pull any punches.
We do follow the Score's Twitter account, but I must have missed this one, that the Score's Twitter account had another zany Joe Cool note Tuesday. Quote, Joe Madden has been sending his daily Cubs lineup to Eddie Vedder while Pearl Jam is on tour in Europe.
Someday they'll go all the way.
That is kind of nuts, isn't it?
Well, I mean, he sends it to Theo and Jed and the players.
But
well, I mean, he just puts them on the group group text.
Okay,
yeah.
I just thought it was. I did chuckle at that.
Simon the Magician probably gets the lineup every day. I'm not so sure about the flamingos from the petting zoo.
But Joe hasn't had Simon here in a while. And
I know, was there a falling out? Did they have a disagreement?
I don't know, but they haven't even had the dress-up trips in a while,
right? I think,
I'm just saying, he's kind of laid off some of that stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I don't know if he heard from some of the players in the clubhouse. Okay,
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, we did it a couple times. It was fun, and we all bonded over it, but...
Right.
Skinny suits, and we just don't need to, you know, get on the internet and order 25 skinny suits for the LA trip. Because the Joe and the coaching staff went ahead and did it the last West Coast trip, but not the players weren't asked to or required to or urged to. I mean, it was like they're keeping the tradition alive, such as it is. So onesies for Lester Strode, but not anyone else. What?
Let's try Luke. Luke's on the road. Luke, you're on with Mully and Hanley.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to agree with Dustin's premise over the last few weeks. This is a dangerous time for the Cubs. Their team is set. If you look at how Jed Theo built this, you have your starters. They've got long-term years remaining on their contract. Their pitching staff is set. If you start trading now, this is going to begin to look like the gambler who's chasing their losses, and you're going to have to start trading from that depth. And I'm going to say that that is an incredibly bad idea.
Yeah.
And Luke, I think we're – not only that, what do you have to trade?
Right.
Don't you have to start tapping into the guys at the major league level if you're really going to make a big-time deal for a starting pitcher at this point?
If you weren't willing to part with some of the major league guys to get a Zach Britton, and I know there wasn't young, controllable pitching to be had,
right.
But, I mean, if you couldn't get their attention with Ian Happ or whomever you wanted to go down that road – okay, fine. Then you're not doing it for the next tier guys. So, you know, Gordon said it. We've been talking about it, and Theo said it for weeks. The answers are in the clubhouse. Now, Joe, the last few days has said, "Hey, I know Theo's very active, and the boys are going to get after it somehow. There's going to be a move or two, but it's going to be Jesse Chavez, and maybe you'll applaud that at the end of the season and say, boy, he was a real deal, but it doesn't get you excited right now."
Let's try Nick. Nick has waited patiently. Good morning, Nick.
Oh, very patient. What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick.
Haven't seen me for very many mornings throughout the years. Anyway, I just think maybe we're just a little bit of recency effect. I think if you look at the last two, if not three, World Series winners, they were probably the best team in the league. 16 Cubs, probably just the best team. Last year's Astros, probably just the best team. But the baseball playoffs aren't set up for the best team to always win the World Series. And going back to what Theo said in the beginning, we just want spins at the wheel. We want cracks at the playoffs. And as we stand here today, the Cubs, very good chance at getting into the playoffs, right?
Oh, they'll be in the playoffs, and they'll probably get to the World Series. Now, winning the World Series might be a more difficult task. You know, Nick, what occurs to me when you say that, look at the last two World Series winners, too. And the Cubs went out and got Aroldis Chapman, made a huge move at the trade deadline. The Astros went out and got Justin Verlander, made a huge move at the trade deadline. Is that now a prerequisite? Is it more than just having the best team and all that, but also being able to add some sort of rocket
Manny Machado to Los Angeles is going to be the move.
If that ends up being the move, that's the move.
Maybe you don't get to the World Series because they had the pitching, and
maybe Boston getting help in the bullpen ends up being a huge move.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about for the Cubs to get to the World Series and get through the National League. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Nationals do. Mike Rizzo is in. They can't make a U-turn and sell, right? They can't by Tuesday.
But they're not going to be able. Are they?
He's saying the right things.
We're
committed to winning this
year.
Are they
seven back?
There's some bad Nationals news that just came out. Uh-oh. Steven Strasburg to the DL.
Oh, see, now that changes everything.
That changes everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Seven games
yesterday,
back,
2 days ago,
place.
Mike Rizzo said, no, why would we sell? Even though no one 6 games back of a second wild card has ever gotten into the playoffs.
They're seven, yeah.
Well, they won yesterday, so
they're
I'd
seven
have to
back
check.
In the division, not the wild card.
But now the Strasburg on the DL, maybe that's the cover Mike Rizzo needs to make the right baseball decision, that not only the odds tell you we'd be the first team to defy him, but now we got Strasburg and maybe
explain a sell-off.
Well, it starts with Bryce Harper.
Well, could you imagine
Gio Gonzalez?
Isn't it too late to make that call?
No.
What would you get for
Gio
Bryce
Gonzalez
Harper right now?
You start thinking, okay, how they go 4 or 5 deep now, right? The bullpen guys they got this year and last year.
The Dodgers gave up 5 prospects, one in the top 100. I believe he was in the 80 range. So I don't know that you get some haul, but you get that's what's funny about this. We've talked so long. None of these names really impress you. None of these names really impress you. There might be some new sellers involved.
What's the injury?
The Cardinals should sell.
What's the Strasburg injury?
They should sell.
Let me check on that. It just came out.
Yeah, that's
his right shoulder, right?
One of the guys that works for the Entercom station in Washington, a midday guy that we've had on the show, Grant Paulson, in the past, hit his tweet. So Strasburg is going back on the DL, and there's been no mention or report of him being injured at all or in pain since his rehab, and he went on the DL last night. What's going on? Now, remember also that Strasburg and Scherzer
got
into a heated exchange
that
went into the down the hallway where we couldn't see it.
Yep.
So is his ouchie become, you know what? I'm done playing games. I don't want to be around this group. I'm out of here.
The beat writers noticed it because it was on the MLB.com transaction log, and there was not a reason given.
Wow.
I mean, that if that is a
hurting blow,
if that's more than a 10-day DL, I mean, if that's like a shoulder or an arm issue, and we're dealing with the Darvish stuff, you know how long that can go.
Do the Nationals now become players in terms of the World Series by trading someone?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, right. Now you are, Mike Rizzo's phone's ringing for everybody, right? His starters, his relief pitchers, maybe Harper as a rental player. And you tell Bryce, well, we still love you and we'll sign you back as a free agent, but we're going to get something for you for the remainder of this season?
See, that's why teams wait. They were the first one to make a move on a relief pitcher a month ago, too.
And he might be moved right now before Tuesday.
Yeah. Trade to the Cubs, who knows?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's get out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. John has waited patiently in Rolling Meadows. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We live the dream.
I bet you do. Well, I think Houston's put to sleep anything about a World Series hangover. I mean, that team just picks it up and puts
apologies
it down.
To Dallas Keuchel when I scoffed at that idea when he said, oh, we're not the Cubs. We'll be fine. He hasn't been the greatest, but they've been good. Yeah.
There was actually a funny story in the New York Times last Sunday about how they have slumped. That it's just not obvious. It's just not.
Yeah.
They haven't played their best baseball even while they're playing pretty good baseball.
I think if you look at the Cubs situation and you look at what the Brewers have going, that 8-game West Coast trip between San Francisco and LA is going to be murderer's row for them. We'll see what happens. If they finish 500, that's a plus for them. As far as the Cubs go, I think what they need to do is keep Montgomery in the rotation and go out and get a lefty that can pitch in the sixth and seventh inning for them and keep the game within reach because the starters are having trouble right now. And this thing with Bryant, it looks like it's going to be a season-type thing for him where he's going to probably have to take a couple of days off now and then with that. The Brewers, I mean, right now, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I've heard rumors that they're looking at bringing in Brian Dozier from Minnesota to play second base.
They're looking for a second baseman.
Thanks, John.
They might, there's speculation that they'll get Zach Wheeler and Cabrera from the Mets, so they get the starting pitcher, and then, they wanted Machado, right? So they're not happy with the middle of their infield, certainly, so they're going to do something, I would suspect.
All right, let's get out to the hotline. We are delighted to welcome in Dennis Savard, the Hall of Famer, one of our favorite Blackhawk players ever. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Molly, Bry, good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Savvy, you are the man that Bill Wirtz once told me saved the Blackhawks organization.
It's true.
You brought entertainment back to the United Center and got fans excited, and no truer words had been spoken by Bill Wirtz.
Well, thanks, Brian. But, we in those days, when I started in 1980, we had a pretty older team at the time. And, then Larms came on board and Secor and obviously Doug Wilson, Bob Murray, Keith Brown, Murray Bannerman. We had a pretty good team in those years. And Troy Murray came along. So, in sports, you need to have some good teammates. And we had that in those years. So we had some good years. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but now that we're Hawks have done so well in the last decade, it's been a lot of fun here.
And Dennis, you're going to get a chance to see a lot of those teammates. This is the 11th annual Blackhawks convention presented by Magellan. It'll be this weekend at the Hilton Chicago. I think the rooms might be sold out, but there's still some tickets available. Do you talk to former teammates, old coaches and friends? Do you know who's coming? Do you guys make arrangements to get together at an event like this?
Yeah, we do. It's a weekend that I circle my calendar. It's always fun. Yeah, I get to see teammates I played with and get to see some of our players. Obviously this year, most of the big guys will be there. Kane, Taze, Duncan Keith will be there. Crawford will be there. So it's kind of nice to reconnect with them too as well. But it's a fun weekend for us. We get to see our fans. You know, I get to spend a lot of time with them through autographs, sessions, photo sessions. There's also a game that the Hawks have put together. I think they started this last year, Family Feud game with the fans and the players. So it's kind of fun. It's a lot of fun things going on there.
Yeah, you know, some fans are going to actually get to participate in the Family Feud match game portions of the thing with Blackhawks as well. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it's entertaining. You know, I mean, I know that one of the favorite things that we do, you know, the Q&A, there's a big ballroom that's opened up for the people there to do a Q&A with the players, and some of us are in there at the time, too. So it's a neat thing. You know, I know that it's been going on for 11 years and, you know, sold out every year. I know this year they've mentioned that they might have some tickets available, so for fans are listening, and I'm sure they are, to your show. How many years have you guys been together now?
10 years.
Yeah,
well,
10,
more so. Than that, 10 in the mornings. So,
yeah, a couple of years in the middays when we were both still
awesome.
double duty at the Sun-Times as well.
Yeah, so they good. Congrats, guys. And they just got to go on the Blackhawk website, and they'll get some info on it and, you know, get it done. So it's a fun weekend. Looking forward to it.
Go ahead, Brian.
You mentioned the Stanley Cup championships in three in a decade. The bar is so high for this organization, and Rocky and John McDonough, and they set it, and they want to keep it where it's at. When you look at guys like Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith, you went through it at different points in your career. There are a lot of miles on Jonathan Toews' body, and he, more than anybody, wants to have a better season this year than he's had in the last couple of years. Do you know what they're going through physically, mentally, and everything else when all of a sudden they're not the player everyone expects them to be, and they expect to be themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's very hard. I mean, to win championship as many times as they did, it's hard. But, you know, I still think, and I know there is still a kind of a big window still for us to get some chance at some more cups here. You know, I think this summer, you know, they signed some veteran guys in Kunitz and Ward, which is going to help, you know, the locker room. And I think last year our kids were good. I thought Schmaltz had a good season. DeBrincat had a good season. You know, Toews would probably tell you that he needs to play better. But, you know, he's done a lot for this organization, and I know that the character person that he is, he'll bounce back and have a good year this year. You know, and I think, you know, with the cap situation, it's been hard to keep players. You know, you've got to sign those guys that, you know, deserve to be signed, like Toews and Kaner and Dunk and Siebes and Crawford.
And you have to pay the young guys starting next year too, right?
Yeah. But there'll be room next year. You know, I kind of look at that stuff, and I'm not involved in the decision, obviously, and Stan's done a great job with that. But, you know, I think next year they'll be close between 10 and 15 million, be able to sign some free agents. So, but, you know, this year should be a decent year. I think they're capable of getting to the playoffs again. And, you know, once you get to the playoffs, because they've been there, they know what it takes to win. I don't see why not take another shot at it, so... We got to stay healthy. You know, that's a secret, and I think everybody knows that. Every team that goes through a hockey season, and if you have your key guys that get hurt throughout the season and they're not there for playoffs, then it becomes more difficult. So, you know, a good start's going to be important. You know, we've got to put some games together. I don't think last year, you know, at one point we got up to four games above 500, and they really didn't put a string together, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins in a row, which they'd done in the past. So hopefully at the start of the year, they'll build some momentum and, you know, go from there. I still believe in those guys. They're still young. I know they've played a lot of hockey, but, you know, Toews, I think, has just turned 30, so is Kaner. And so a lot of years left in them.
Dennis, Brian and I worked together at the Sun-Times years ago, and we worked with Dave Feldman, the old horse racing guy, and he was Dave every once in a while would.
I think Sammy knows a little something about horse racing.
I know he does. And you remember Dave, he would, like, every once in a while crawl under and try to feel the horse's leg, do something try to get a little inside
actually,
info.
Some guy, I think it was the Belmont Stakes, so some guy wanted him to take money and bet the Belmont when he was there. And Dave was sure that the horse was lame.
Yes.
So the trainer was holding court with media like 10 yards from the stall or whatever. And Dave went on his belly and looked for a hot spot.
The ankles.
Looking for a hot spot. And then booked the bet. Then realized the horse was lame and booked
the bet.
Yeah.
But I want to do that with Corey Crawford. That's what I was driving at.
Hey, hot spot for horses on the ankles is not good, right? You know that. Are you still part owner with Eddie with that horse?
And yeah, then, drama runs Saturday, third race of Gulfstream. He's running for the mortgage now, not for fun.
Peter Walder trains?
Yes, Peter's training. And
I know that. I knew that.
I haven't had a chance to look at the field yet, but 9 horses going, and I think we're the 5th horse and allowance race. So we're going for some coins. So here we go.
Good.
But what about Crawford? I mean, does it come down to whether, you know, he's going to be healthy? You talk about health. I mean, that's a big one going into the season.
Yeah, what I hear is doing good. So, you know, that's the key. Right now, his summer's gone pretty well. So hopefully that, you know, we're 6 weeks away from camp. And I from what I hear, he's doing well and he's ready to go. So, yeah, it'll be important for him to have him healthy. But, you know, Cam Ward, I think, is going to be you know, if you want to call him a backup, because he's been number one throughout his whole career and a Stanley Cup champion. So he's a guy that was a very important signing to the Hawks, and not to take anything away from Forsberg last year. You know, we didn't play our best at times, and it was very difficult for him. But, you know, with Cam being in here as a veteran guy that's been there, it's going to be a big help. And, you know, maybe, you know, Crow won't have to play 60, 65 games, you know, so 50 games and get him pressed for playoffs when playoffs comes around and go from there. You know, he's doing good, and hopefully that when camp starts, he's there and getting ready for a great season again.
So will you be surprised if the Knights from Vegas are a team that makes it back to the Stanley Cup final? Or, you know, are they in for a letdown any way, shape, or form? Or is this the old days of the expansion team being a doormat are over in the NHL?
No, I don't think so. I think they were for real this year. I mean, to be honest, it took me a while to believe that.
Yeah, me too.
They are for real. I mean, you've watched. I saw them play. I was with the Hawks at both of the games in Vegas, and obviously saw them play here the one game. But they are a good team. They're fast. You know, you look at, you know, the teams around the NHL, the teams that have very, very much success like we had here from the last decade. Goaltending is so important. Power play, special teams, but power play is a big key. And obviously speed is the other third thing that's so important. And I think Vegas demonstrated that this year with, you know, good goaltending in Fleury. They had great speed, and obviously their power play was very successful. And you watch who won the Cup this year, Washington. I mean, their power play was deadly. You know, if you took a penalty against them, the puck would be in the back of your net. So
the Hawks' power play has got to be better too, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's no question that it's going to be a key to our season this year. I mean, having Crow being healthy and our power play, and, you know, getting up in the ranks again like we used to be, you know, at least the middle of the pack, I think we'll be fine. And the players are there to make it happen. So hopefully that, you know, that this year our power play works as well as it has in the past. And, you know, you go through some stages, you know, on the power play in the course of a season. You're going to go through little slumps where pucks won't bounce your way. But with the talent that we have, I expect us to be pretty successful at that.
Dennis, thank you. Great catching up with you. Have a great time this weekend. And we're all excited to get the Blackhawks back out and talking, and hopefully back out and winning in short order.
And find 10 minutes to put a little ticket on the Rainbow Six Saturday.
Molly, thanks. Brian, thanks, pal. Good luck this weekend with your horse.
All right, thanks, Sammy. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Dennis. That is Dennis Savard. He's awesome.
Rainbow Six, know, you, down at Gulfstream is up to about $500,000.
Is it really?
Yeah, chasing it.
I need that money.
Yeah, I know. You and I will put a ticket together.
I really need it because of what happened by not winning that
Can
lotto.
Can you imagine
I
the Mega Millions didn't go your way?
I can't believe it. I thought it was.
We'll
my,
put a ticket together. We'll
I thought
chase.
It was my time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, here we go. I like
unbelievable.
I like you asked him about Vegas, but the bigger question is:
Oh,
Alex Ovechkin is so drunk in the off season. What's, I mean, that guy's going to be playing with like bubbles in the air his head.
Yeah, no, he's done. He's just got the one. But when Sammy said I was out there for both trips to Vegas, I was thinking, God bless. There's a smart ambassador. You know, he's not going to Winnipeg. He's on the charter flight to Vegas. He knows where to.
And he did save hockey in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
There's
did.
Not a shadow
Bill
of a
Wirtz
doubt.
Said yes. Sincerely that, you know.
And he was right.
Yeah, he did his part.
All right. We're going to be right back with a little transition. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.